All right, we're going to do our meditation now. If you care to take your shoes off, I sometimes find that that works a lot better. Again, always loosen whatever's around your waist so you can breathe properly. Sit back comfortably. You're going to do better with this meditation if you're sitting up than if you're lying down. We'll start out with a progressive relaxation. Close your eyes. Breathe in deeply through your nose, tongue on the roof of the mouth behind the teeth line. Exhale as deeply as you can, pushing out the air from the lower lungs. Breathe in again deeply. As you breathe in, feel yourself filling with life energy as deeply as you can, and then gently breathe out again through the nose, exhaling all negativity, worry, and fear. Breathe in again. And out. Now breathe normally. What you will want to do is to take your worry box, an imaginary box, and put into it all of your cares, your fears, your concerns before we do our meditation. Put anything into that box, maybe even your physical body, anything which can be a distraction during our exercise. When you're done, close the box and push it around behind you where you cannot see it. And now we'll do our progressive relaxation. One, relax the muscles of your head and your face, each muscle of your head and your face. Roll your head around briefly, dropping it forward as you exhale, back as you inhale. Do this slowly so as not to strain the neck. Then reverse the direction. Drop your head back. Inhale again. Exhale as you drop your head forward. Bring your head to center and swallow to relax your throat. Two. Let all of the accumulated relaxation in your head, your face, your neck, your throat, let it all flow inwards, teaching your mind and brain what this feeling of relaxation is. Three, now that the brain knows what it feels like to relax, let your brain send a wave of relaxation down through your whole body, all the way into your feet. Four, let your mind tell both feet to relax. Five, let your mind tell the muscles of both legs from the hip to the ankle to relax. Six, let your mind focus on the muscles and the organs of your lower body and tell each of these to relax. Seven, again, focus your attention on the muscles and organs of your upper body. And let your mind tell each of these, relax. 8. Focus your attention on your back. From the base of your skull to the base of your spine, tell all of the muscles of your back to relax. Nine, focus your attention on the muscles of both arms and hands and tell these to relax. Ten, you find yourself with your mind alert and awake, but your body deeply relaxed as if asleep. Ten, your breathing is deep and even. 10. Your mind is in a state generating alpha waves. 10. Now focus your attention on a light beam coming down from above your head. Watch that light surround your body, completely surrounding you like a glowing egg of brilliance. It seems that with each breath you take, the pulsating light surrounding you intensifies. And with a part of your attention, you see a corresponding glimmer of light in the center of your chest. And as you focus on it, that pulsating light at the center of your body becomes brighter and brighter. It expands until it gradually moves to fill all parts of your body, and then expands beyond your body to join with the glowing radiance surrounding you. You stand encased by the white light. And now focus your attention on the chakra at the base of your spine. Bring some of that white light energy from the aura around you into that base chakra. Pull that white light in as you breathe it in. As you breathe in, pull it in, and watch it begin to turn red and begin to spin as it activates and expands your root chakra, that chakra at the base of your spine. With each inhalation, draw more white light in. Watch that red spinning disc at the base of your spine become more brilliant. Feel the base of the spine chakra, the root center, opening and expanding. And now with a strong inhalation, draw that red light up your spine into the sacral center, which is just below your navel. And as that red light enters into the sacral center, it becomes orange. And with another deep breath, breathe white light from your aura into the sacral center. Feel that orange sacral center becoming energized. Feel it opening and expanding. Feel the pressure in the small of your back, the lower back, as the center opens, expands, expanding your creativity, expanding your intuition. And see that orange disc spinning faster and faster with each breath you take. And now again, with a deep inhalation, draw that orange light of the sacral center up your spine until it reaches the level of your sternum, the breastbone.
here, feel it merge into your solar plexus center as it turns yellow. Again, as you inhale, bring in more light from the white aura around you, more brilliance. With each inhalation, draw more light up from below and more light in from the white aura around you. Watch the yellow solar plexus center in your chest area spinning, becoming more and more brilliant. With each breath, expanding your chest, expanding your lung capacity, clearing your mind, stabilizing your emotions, allowing you to see with greater objectivity. And now, with another deep inhalation, draw that solar plexus yellow light energy up into your heart and watch it erupt into a brilliant green as it enters your heart center, spinning into a green swirl. Draw white light in from your aura to merge with it with another deep breath and feel that brilliant spinning green disc in your chest, becoming more and more brilliant. Feel your chest, your heart expanding. Feel yourself opening emotionally, filled with understanding and compassion and empathy. Feel a sense of joy erupting from deep within you. Feel yourself becoming lighter with each breath you take. And now with another deep breath, pull that green energy from the heart center up into the throat center. And as it enters the throat center, watch it turn blue. Feel the blue light expanding in the throat area. And with another deep breath, bring in more white light to merge with it. Feel your throat expanding. Feel your creative urge increasing. Feel a sense of power, stability, a sense of purpose looming from deep within you. Watch the spinning light of your blue throat center, clearer, crisper with each breath you take. And now with another deep inhalation, bring that blue light of your throat center up into your third eye center, just behind your brow. And see that light turn into a deepest indigo, almost black color. Bring more white light in to energize that center. Feel your third eye opening as a deep indigo spinning disc forms behind your brow. Feel a glimpse of other realms, a glimpse of the voices and sounds of your guides. The music of the spheres is here. Feel your brow, your forehead expanding. Feel the pressure between your eyes as the third eye opens. And now with another deep breath, draw that indigo light from the third eye into your crown center, in the center of your forehead, buried deep within, and feel an eruption of violet light as this blue indigo light enters the crown. Violet light blooms and spins. Bring white light into your head to add to this crown center energy. And with each breath, feel more light energy entering and spinning within your head, your cranial area. see that violet light flowing. Feel the presence of your guides and helpers. Feel the presence of your own higher self opening in a direct line to you. And now, in your mind's eye, reach down to the base of your spine and with a deep inhalation, pull the remaining red energy up from the root chakra. Breathe in. Exhale quickly. Focus on the sacral center and breathe in again as you draw the orange light up your spine. Breathe in deeply. Exhale quickly. Add the yellow light of the solar plexus and breathe in deeply as you pull it up. Again, exhale quickly. Bringing up the green light of your heart center, breathing in deeply. And exhale quickly. Again, breathe in, bringing up the throat center blue. Breathe out. Breathe in as you bring up the third eye indigo. Exhale deeply, quickly. Bring all of these rainbow colors up, accumulate them in the crown center as you inhale deeply. Hold that inhalation as long as you can. Visualize the top of your head opening like a trap door. Exhale into a deep purple sphere above your head. See all of that accumulated rainbow energy exhaling out the top of your head into the purple, deep purple spinning disc, spinning sphere above your head. Now with each inhalation, continue to bring more energy up. With each exhalation, let that sphere spin faster and faster. Before long, that sphere angles out into a spinning pyramid, a cone of power. Feel it gaining power with each breath. And now take your right hand and put it above your head. Feel the energy accumulated in this cone of power. Feel the energy. Feel the pressure. Feel the heat. Feel the tingling in your hands as you touch this area above your head. Now replace your hand in your lap. It's there. A psychic who is clairvoyant will be able to see this activated eighth chakra, this cone of power. This is a direct communication line to your higher consciousness. An activation of the Shambhala force within you. And now, I'm going to show you how to program this cone of power so that you can instruct it to bring certain things into your life or to help you to be in the right place at the right time to achieve those certain things. If you follow my instructions, in the future you will be able to instruct or program this higher part of yourself in whatever means you wish. Just always be careful that you program it with something you want to live with for a long time. We're going to program this evening with the instruction that this cone of power will be a watcher for you, a protective device permanently in your aura, a device that won't actively protect, but will passively always let you know if you are in any kind of danger, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. It will find a means to let you know. Now here's how you program it. Focus for a moment on your heart center. See it glowing green. Focus on the intent that you wish your cone of power to be a warning device to let you know if you are in any kind of danger, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Now, as you focus, visualize a ray of green light coming out of your heart center and going straight up directly into the center of the cone of power. And now focus on your throat center. See it glowing blue. Focus again on the thought that you would like your cone of power to be a protective device, a warning device that will let you know if at any time you are in any danger, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Again, direct a ray of blue light from your throat center with this word of order directly upwards into the center of your cone of power. Now at this point, you should have the green ray from the heart center and the blue ray from the throat center still entering the cone. Now focus on your third eye. See it glowing indigo. And once again, focus on the need for your cone of power to be a warning device to protect, in that it will let you know if you are in any danger physically, emotionally, spiritually, or mentally. See a ray of indigo light move up and into that cone, right into its center. Now take a moment to focus all three rays, green, blue, and indigo, into that cone. As they go into the center of the cone, watch it spin faster. And now first, stop the ray of light from your third eye. Stop it. And watch the bottom of the ray disappear into the cone. Next, stop the ray from your throat and watch it disappear into the cone. Last, stop the ray of your heart center and watch it disappear into the cone. Breathe regularly. Know that not only has your eighth chakra, the cone of power, been awakened, but you have charged it with the first thing that you would like it to help you with in your life. Anything that you charge this cone of power, this higher chakra within yourself, to do in your life or to bring into your life, it will consciously work towards. So think carefully before you charge it. Only bring into your life, seek to bring into your life those things which bring you spiritual growth, things that you can live with for a long time. And now take a very deep breath. Visualize for a moment those energies of all the chakras flowing around your cone, all the colors mixed in with the purple. And as you exhale, visualize all of those colors coming out the top of that cone, flowing back into the universe. The cone of power is left in place. But you release the energies of the chakras. Breathe normally. Take a moment to feel how you physically and emotionally feel. Assess your body, your being. And I'm going to count us back from 10 to 1 to normal waking consciousness. 10. 9. Move your fingers, your toes around. 8. Flex your arms, your legs. 7. Stretch. 6. Give a big, wide stretch and a yawn. 5. 4. Breathe as deeply as you can. 3. Let it go. 2. And 1. Wake up. Bring your attention back to normal waking consciousness. When we do the chakra exercise, it is never a relaxing exercise.
That's what I'm asking.
Right. We pull enormous amounts of energy through. So you don't have to do that progressive relaxation first. You can just go straight into the chakra exercise. The reason that I usually do the progressive relaxation first is that you get to drop the tensions of the day so that your body is more capable of receiving and channeling the energy. How did that Kona power feel?
Good.
Good?
Yeah. More energy.
Yeah. The reason I had you program it with something as innocuous as being a warning device is that it can't possibly hurt you, but it can help you a great deal. And it will work. So the next time, you know, you're about to run a stop sign and you get this real strong urge not to, that's your cone of power saying, you know, watch out, somebody's about to come through here. Pay attention to it, because it will definitely act. And the more attention you pay to the whatever technique it's going to find to give you the warnings, the more attention you pay, the more effective it will become. Okay? Now, what we're going to do with the remaining part of the class, how does your head feel right now? A little spacey?
Yeah.
Especially around here? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The reason I did this exercise first is because it helps us to get into the right state to see an aura. And what we're going to do is we're going to practice with me first. I'm going to turn the blackboard sideways so that it kind of fills the area behind me a little bit better. As Dave mentioned earlier, it is always easier when you're first learning to see auras to see them if you're looking at them against something white or any light color. Another comment, too. If you should look at somebody, and perhaps that person's been wearing blue all day, and you see a blue aura around them, and you say, no, that can't be, because they're wearing blue, I must be just seeing the blue. That's not the case. A lot of times, the color we've been wearing during the day actually does color our aura, so you may actually be seeing correct if you see the color someone's wearing.
That might appeal to them in the morning because they're feeling that color.
They may be feeling the color, or they may need it for a certain reason, but colors that we're around a lot do permeate our auras. And even though your aura might have one primary color, auras tend to change, and you can get many colors in an aura. So you might see somebody who stands up here who's got one color. You might see somebody who's got 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 different colors. It depends on the person's mood, where they've been, the colors that they've been wearing during the day. A lot of things come into play. Okay, now, when you look to see an aura, first off, you don't have to be psychic to see an aura. You can teach this to anybody. The part that requires being psychic is seeing the colors. Jim, you might want to sit on the couch over there so that you can see me against this, unless you have me centered against something white over here.
Well, you're violet over there. See from the
lights. The lights, okay. So you're probably better off sitting where you can see me centered against this. Okay? Now, what you do when you're instructing someone to see an aura is we're going to use a type of vision which they taught to airline pilots during World War II. You're not going to look directly at your target. You're going to alter your vision and look a couple of inches off to the side. That's because the aura itself, the shape of the aura, cannot be perceived with the cones of the eye, which see the color. They're perceived with the rod. So you've got to look off to the side because that's where they are located. OK? okay? I.e., you're losing your black and white vision receptors. So what you're going to do is to, I'll put my hand up here. I'm going to take my hand and put it about 2 inches behind my head and about 6 inches above. Now, if you look at where I have my hand, and take a few deep breaths and let yourself settle and center. Feel yourself centering and relaxing. Okay? And if you're looking at my hand and you're nice and relaxed, what you're going to start to see is a ring of light around my head, my shoulders, my arm. And that ring of light will stand out. On me, it's usually pretty small. It's usually only a quarter of an inch to a half an inch. It's pretty close to my head. And it will be a brilliant whitish color. Okay, does everybody make that out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the etheric aura. Now, if you watch my hand still, follow it up slowly as I raise it, a shadow is going to form between my fingers and my head. Does everybody see that shadow?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks almost like you're looking at heat waves rising from a road or above a fire. That is the aura itself. And this is what most people who look at auras are going to see. Now that you're seeing this point, which is that clear haze or a smoky kind of a haze, ask yourself, what color do I perceive? And as soon as that color pops in your head, allow yourself to project it out along your line of sight and see it in the aura. Either see the color or colors. There may be more than one. Okay, Laura, what is your eye seeing?
Green.
Okay, and where do you see that green?
Around your head.
Okay, is that the only color you're seeing?
Yeah.
Okay, Karen, what color are you seeing?
I see like a pinkish light. Almost look like a lavender.
And where are you seeing it?
Around your head, down past your arm.
Okay, so you're seeing it on this side.
No, the other side.
The other side.
Yeah.
You're seeing it on my left side.
Mm-hmm.
You're right as you're looking at me. Do you see any colors on my right side?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
To the other side, it came more clearly to me.
Jane, what about you?
I'm seeing bluish green that's flashing from one side to the other.
Okay. And Dave?
No, I'm not seeing it.
Okay, are you seeing the shape of the aura? The haze?
No.
Okay, it may be that you're sitting in a spot that's not conducive. Why don't you take a seat in the center of the couch or maybe on the swivel chairs and give yourself that chance to kind of settle down and see the etheric aura first and then look for the hazy part of it. Jim, how about you?
Well, if I get down for I see it around your arm and your hand, and it's sort of violet, but more white than that, I mean more.
Like a very pale violet?
Yes.
And are you seeing it around the right arm or the left?
Left, right arm.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? I've got violet arms.
But I can see Laura's real easy.
Yeah, because she's right against the white background.
Yeah.
David, how about it? I know I haven't given you much time.
The only thing I can see is like violet kind of blue above your head.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you'll all be happy to know that my aura generally tends towards a blue-green. Okay, so you're all hitting a color range. And I do, because of the exercise we've just done, I've got a lot of violet. Otherwise, that violet wouldn't be there. So that exercise is affecting the aura. Okay? So you're right on. Okay? Can I have a volunteer to come up here? We're going to keep experimenting.
I'll do it.
Okay, come on up, Karen.
You have to just stand in front of that.
Well, you have to stand in front of that.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to put you through a little bit of a workout here. Put your hand about 2 inches behind your head and a little bit above. Okay, now again, just like what happened with me, focus on her hand. Let your breathing drop down deep, relaxed. I always saw my best auras at board meetings when I was so bored. Is everybody ever able to see her etheric aura yet?
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that hers is a little wider than mine?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And what color is her etheric aura? Is it white? white, yellowish white, bluish white?
It's bluish white too.
Now I see a bluish white too, but we may see a little bit differently. We all see colors a little different. Now, Carmen, as you gradually, slowly move your hand up, that'll allow us to let our eye adjust as we follow your hand and see that aura all around her like an egg. And I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to intimidate you folks. Jim, let's start with you this time.
I can see the aura around your hand, but I really don't see that egg.
Okay, so you see. That's okay, though. Maybe the angle you're sitting at, because you've got a dark surface behind you instead of the white, which is easier to see.
Yeah.
Okay? And what color do you see around your hand?
It looks white with blue in it. Not a lot of blue, but still a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It's not a white like a white. It's a almost translucent.
Uh-huh. And that's what most people who are seeing auras will see. And when you ask yourself, what color is that? What color comes to you?
Blue.
Okay.
Pale.
Like a pastel blue.
Yes.
Okay. David, what about you?
Seeing beyond the etheric is real white to me, and beyond there.
Go ahead and ask yourself, what color is that? And then let your third eye project it out.
I'm seeing it more as a grayish blue.
Okay. Jane, what about you?
I'm seeing a real light violet. And I see it all the way around her head and down her left arm.
And Laura, what about you?
The light blue, like Jim saw.
Okay. Now it's interesting, we're all seeing similar colors. Karen, your aura is predominantly light blue, but around the, see if you can see what I'm seeing as a point. On the left side of her head, there is going around, there's a patch of almost a brilliant turquoise, only it's a little more green than turquoise. Okay? And probably because she's getting tired of all the energy from her arm, inside of the arm is almost an orangey gold coming down around her forearm. I don't know if you can make this out. And below her hand is very definitely a violet color coming out. But the bulk of your aura is that nice pastel blue. Let's swap.
Who'd like to be next?
I'll go.
Go ahead, Jane.
Stand up for a minute. Focus my eyes here.
Yeah, wait till you see how strong your arm gets, like the old hair of us to look.
Okay.
And she's strong.
I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Yeah, it works better. I know this room is not real conducive to it because I have so many things on the walls. Eventually, you're going to get so good at seeing auras that you can see them under fluorescent lights. You don't have to have special lighting for this. You do need some light though. In a totally black room, you won't be able to see them. Start out a little bit behind her head, Jane, and a little bit further down, okay? And if we look at her fingers instead of her head, we're gonna see that etheric aura that stands out on her. It's pretty wide too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, God, yours is almost more than an inch.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you got a big etheric aura. And who can tell what the shade of white that the Theragora is?
To me, right off the bat, it looks like a lavenderish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it as a bluish too. Anybody have any differences?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, very slowly, Jane, for us, so we don't lose you, lift your hand up. Okay, you can see that gradual egg shape forming between the hand and the head. When you get good at this, you'll see that egg standing out completely surrounding her whole body. You just can't look directly at it. You've got to have your vision off-center.
Off-center, right?
Exactly. You have to be looking at it sideways. And when you look at her aura, just let yourself go down to that deep breathing. Totally relax. Let yourself kind of drop into it, sink into it. And the more you sink into that space, the clearer her aura will become. Laura, let's start with you this time.
I see a little bit of red around her head, but a lot of blue on her arms.
Mm-hmm. Karen?
I'm seeing a hot color that seems like a pinkish.
She's interesting. That's what you picked up from her when you were working with her also.
I know.
Uh-huh. David, what about you?
I'm having a rough time seeing the line.
Her aura is a little harder to see, so don't feel bad about this. I'm finding it's flickering in and out. Mm-hmm. I think she hides it.
It is doing that.
Uh-huh.
She's a what?
She's a Pisces.
Shame on her.
She doesn't like to be seen. Jim, how about you?
Well, then I'm not crazy because it is flickering, you know.
Uh-huh.
I've seen
the
colors, but I can't tell what they are. They're dark colors, just sort of floating around in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks more white, blue-white than it did in the past. And it's big when it shows.
Oh, yeah. She just likes to hide it.
But it disappears, yeah.
Uh-huh. David, once I said that, were you able to grab any flashes? Because that's
no,
what's
I
happening.
Can, I can
flashes.
See it going in and out.
Uh-huh.
To me. I'm not seeing too much more than the etheric, I guess.
Uh-huh.
No. If I had to guess, to me, it seems somewhat bluish. I don't.
Yeah, and that's important. See what Dave just said? If I had to guess, what you can train yourself to do is to ask, what color is that? And the color will come to you, you project it out, and then Jane can't hide it because you're really able to break through that and see it. And once again, we have a blue aura here, but Jane's aura is multicolored too. She's a powdery blue, so your aura is a similar color to Karen's,
mm-hmm.
but there is a lot of pink. I see it almost like a lavender or lilac through it.
Yeah, that's right.
And around your hand, on the back of the hand she's holding up, I see a lot of green. So I feel like that, you know, that's worth noting. I think that you probably have a lot of green in your aura too. And I also see some gold right around her head. And it's a brilliant gold. Now that may be from the exercise that we just got done doing. Anybody able to see some of those things? Okay, who's next?
It must be a rainbow.
Yeah, but see, the reason I'm doing this, by the way, is not because what I'm seeing is absolutely right. We're doing this so we can all get feedback working in a group. One of the things I found when I first started to see yours was that it was so important that I could compare what I was seeing with what someone else was seeing, because then I could believe myself.
Sure.
You know, and I did work for a long time with a girl who had been clairvoyant from birth, whereas I developed the ability later on, okay? Who's next? Don't all race right up
here.
It is interesting what you can tell about people's personalities, even those who try to hide their aura, isn't it, Jake?
I didn't know how to hide it.
Yeah, almost an unconscious pull it in so you're not imposing on anyone kind of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lift your hand a teeny bit. He's so nice and tall. And again, let yourself through that deep breathing drop into that nice alpha or daydream state. Get nice and relaxed. See how it gets easier and easier each time. Yeah, he's bright, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got bright.
Okay, Karen, you start this time.
Like it's like a purple lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Purplish. Let's see.
Laura, what do you see?
I'm very, very, very bright. Almost fluorescent bright. Like blues and greens.
Uh-huh.
I see gold around his arm.
Good girl.
Yeah.
Jane, what about you?
I'm seeing the blues. Very bright around his head.
Mm-hmm. And Jim?
I'm seeing the blues, but it seems to be big.
The back of his head's very, very bright.
Yes.
Kind of low. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then move your hand up a little bit. Let us see more. Okay. Now the hand is inhibiting that aura stands. You've got a big aura. It's out there a good 3 feet around you. Okay? That's what you call presence. I don't think that David is good at hiding himself. Anybody have anything else they see now that he's moved that hand up to give us a little more space in there? Again, I see a lot of different colors there. Right around your head, David, I see almost an electric blue.
Some of the textbooks, because he's got nice rings. It's in rings.
It's not a little slash of color on the left, a little slash of color here. He's actually got rings. Now there's a ring of blue, and then there's a ring of a green, and then there's a ring of like a goldish color, but it's all against that pale blue background, which I would imagine is his primary aura color. And I think that purple that you were seeing, Karen, it probably is coming from his meditation that we just got done with. Okay, and especially around his head, right? I think I'm seeing is a dark blue, you're seeing is a purple or a deep lavender. Anybody have anything they want to add? Okay, Jim, you're next.
Good, because my eyes are getting tired. but there?
Okay, now again, everybody take that nice deep couple of breaths to relax. Almost feel like you're letting yourself fall through the chair you're sitting in. Get that relaxed. Let your eyes go. I think of it as soft focus, out of focus. You know, Jim's got a pretty big aura too, doesn't he? What color is his etheric aura? What do you see?
A little bit of yellow.
Yeah, I see it as a yellowish too. It's the first one who's had a yellowish. Okay, anybody else? Anybody see something different for that etheric aura? It's even almost like a tinge of greenish. But
I see green on this side.
Yeah,
on this.
And I've never seen an etheric aura that has a greenish tinge before. That's a new one for me. Okay, now as you lift your hands slowly, let's see what kind of colors are in between. Okay, Laura, what do you see now?
I see red and gold on his arm, and bluish green coming down this arm here, and yellow on the top of his head.
That's about what I'm seeing. Karen, how about you?
I had seen red.
Particularly like around the hands.
On the hands.
Lots of energy coming out of those hot hands. Jane, what about you?
I'm seeing red on the hands.
Dave?
Yeah, I can see the red on the hands. And on the back of the forearm. To me, it's kind of like a, I guess it's a goldish color there.
Very good. Thank you, Jim. If I were to say there was an overall color there, I'd call it green with all those other colors against the background. Okay. Oh, of course, it's easy to see. You must give us some time to see it, will you?
I can see it.
She wears it openly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, let your breathing settle down, although with her you may not have to. And tell me, what color do you see her etheric aura? That little ring, that band around her head.
I'm seeing light yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that almost as soon as she got up.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, now move your hand up slightly. Okay. Now let yourself breathe in that nice deep way. Yourself kind of fall into the chair. What do you see? What color is her aura? Karen, what about you?
I'm still seeing the yellow.
The whole aura yellow?
Yeah.
Okay. Jane, what about you?
I'm seeing a yellow aura. Sort of a cream color.
David.
I don't know.
Don't be afraid.
To me, it's sort of like me, I think there's like pinkish red on between the arm and head.
Yep. And Jim?
Well, I don't want to see color, but it's the brightest one I've seen. It's real strong.
Yeah, she's got a real powerful aura. And if you ask yourself, what color is that? What color comes to mind? Ask.
It's blue.
Okay, now project that out. See where the blue is. See it.
Around your head, it's really bright.
Dark blue, light blue.
Well, there's light blue right next to me, and then out it gets darker almost in the go. Finish.
Yeah, it's interesting because what I'm seeing is kind of a blend of what everybody else is. I see almost a goldy orange right around her head, and there is another streak of it going up towards her hand and down around her arm on the inside. But I also see those veins of almost an indigo dark blue that it looks like that's set against. When she first got up, my first impression was that you have a blue aura, and it shades between a dark blue and a light blue, but as you were up there, it became yellow, which I thought was very interesting. So once you settled down, the aura seemed to settle into yellow. So I think you kind of vacillate back and forth between the two colors. And I do think that we're all seeing a little bit different, but what we're seeing is there. It's in different areas. I don't see green there. One person, I don't see green there. And I do see pink coming down on either side of her head, kind of like streaks of pink.
Very bright.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing's very brilliant. Thank you, Laura. Now, I need another volunteer for an experiment. And
you want her head or you want her to stay there?
Would you like to stay up there? Are you getting tired?
Nope.
Okay, we have to stay up there. Now, what I want those of us who are sitting down to do is nothing. I don't want us to resist. I don't want us to think of anything other than what we're watching. I want you to just breathe in a nice, normal, relaxed way. But I want you to pay attention to what you see and to what you feel, okay? And Laura, you're going to be the one who does the work. We're just going to be watching you. First off, what I would like you to do is to close your eyes and breathe nice and deeply. And I want you to imagine yourself as if you are growing. You're getting taller, you are getting wider. You're becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. You feel your head right now pressing against the ceiling. And now you're through the ceiling and you're still growing. You can look down at the trees. You're looking down at the treetops. You're still growing, getting bigger, bigger. Matter of fact, now you can look down and you're so big that you can see the curvature of the earth. You see it far below you. And you're still growing. Wisps of clouds pass by your face, and you're still growing. Now you're beyond the Earth's atmosphere. You're in darkness, the darkness of space, and still growing. The molecules of your body are spread so far apart that they mingle with the stars, and still you're growing. Feel yourself spreading out into infinity. And now begin to pull those molecules of stuff, which is you, back together. Pull them towards you. Make yourself smaller. Pull yourself down back into the Earth's atmosphere. Down past the tree line. Down and inwards into this room. Pull yourself into your own body. now imagine yourself a turtle, and you're now pulling into your shell, your tail, your lips, your head. Now breathe normally and open your eyes.
How weird.
Wasn't that nifty?
Oh, that was weird.
Now you have a seat. While I turn the lights on, everybody watch their eyes. I want to ask each of you who were sitting here, what did you perceive as Laura was going through this expansion of self? What did you perceive? What happens to her physically? What happens to her in energy? What did you see? What did you feel? Who wants to start?
I felt movement.
You felt her going up?
Yes.
How about out?
Expanding.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. An expansive feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she just grew bigger.
Uh-huh.
Standing there.
Uh-huh. Dave?
Yeah, she did, but what was it? I mean, as you were getting her to expand, she was actually wrong.
Yeah,
she
was, I don't know if you realize
what
you
are.
No, I feel it because I worry about, like, keeping my hand up here because of my back and shoulder injury.
Okay.
And it just felt like somebody was just
lifting
my arm
uh-huh.
up. No pressure, no nothing, and it was weird.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what did you feel from her as her aura expanded to fill this room? Her aura pushed out and went right through you.
Felt like awe.
Yeah. Isn't that a nifty
yes.
feeling? Okay. And Laura has a very gentle aura, so I don't think any of us felt any kind of inhibition or uncomfortableness with that aura filling
mm-hmm.
the room. Laura, was it easy to pull it back in?
Yeah. Just went.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Most of the time, I get wallflowers up here, and people like Jane, who don't like to expose their auras. And they really have such a good time out there that when it's time to pull it in, they can't do it. So I was surprised when yours came back in as easily as it did.
Yeah.
Okay,
right down.
Yeah.
One of the exercises that I would really like you folks to practice on your own is doing that at least once a day. I want you to practice expanding your aura.
That's going
to
get me back down.
and Jane, all the more reason you should do it. You know, most of us, because we do live in a crowded, tight society, most of us walk around with our auras shrunk. It's distinctly unhealthy.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't project our aura because we don't want to intimidate or push against other people or being polite, but it's just not healthy. And so once a day, maybe when you're busy doing your meditation, you should do exactly the exercise that we just did. It's a quick, short little thing. And you can do it just like I showed you through the visualization. Feel yourself getting bigger and visually change your perspective. Feel your head against the ceiling, push through the ceiling, look down at the roof of the house, look down at the trees, and so forth. And as your perspective changes, your aura will get larger. And then when you're done, remember to bring it in. And at the end, remember to go back into a turtle. And that gets you really back in where you belong. Most people get back in and think that in is only here. Okay? So we really have to remember to pull it back in to blend into society again. But I'll tell you, you'll feel better as a person. You probably feel a whole lot more energized right now than
you. You know what's funny? I feel the same right now like I felt when my boss came into my store and
right.
I was feeling uncomfortable.
Yes.
I felt in the store.
Uh-huh.
That was the exact
same feeling.
Feeling
yeah.
that I had today.
When you get into doing that, there's a feeling of building your ego, just in general, feeling better about yourself and about your life. Okay, what do those colors mean? Okay,
yes.
You may want to take some notes down. You may not. This is up to you. These are what the colors mean to Sandy. Okay? First off, let's do it in chakra order. Okay? Very rarely will you see... Let me turn this so that I can reach it. Okay, very rarely are you going to see a purple aura, okay? That is that highest center. The only time I've ever seen purple auras have been around, like, priests, okay? Purple's a very, very powerful color, but it's also a real serene color, you know, and normal people just don't get it. But you can see pieces of purple in someone's aura when they're having that kind of a real exalted and powerful, because it's a power color kind of a feeling. Kings and queens wore purple, and that was not for no reason. Violet, which of course is the color of the crown chakra, is another one that I very rarely see a whole aura that's violet.
And usually the only time I'll see that is on somebody who's just finished doing a real intense meditation. But usually when you do see violet, it's on a spot on somebody, and it's when they've been meditating or maybe they've just woken up. Okay, so I'm going to put down, it's more like a meditation kind of a color. And both purple and violet are going to be around people with profound beliefs. Both of these are people who are real deep thinkers. And needless to say, both of them are nice colors. The purple is power. So if you see purple in someone's aura, you are definitely looking at a powerful individual. The violet is somebody who really doesn't want power, literally doesn't want it. Okay, gold, which we saw also, gold corresponds to that crown center as well. What do you think all the old artists used to paint gold halos around people for? And gold, very much like violet, is seen in somebody's aura after they've done a meditation. It's again a person who usually has a lot of presence but isn't interested in direct power. And I'll tell you what I associate gold is inspiration. And it's not uncommon to see violet and gold in somebody's aura who is seeing guides or getting higher guidance, hearing their guides. Okay, it's like a direct pipeline, the violet and the gold. Coming down, we look at that indigo. Now, indigo is definitely a power color, and it indicates somebody who is a good sender and receiver, both. It's usually somebody who's very psychic, and also somebody who's very spiritual. So even though it's a power color, we don't normally see indigo in the auras of criminals and people like that. We see it in people who are highly principled. And again, indigo is common in the aura of priests and gurus. Matter of fact, even people who do everyday kinds of teaching, you know, you and I, Jim, were talking about teachers earlier. Show me a teacher who's in a moment of inspiration and really loving what they are teaching, and I'll show you a person who could be producing any one of these colors, okay? But we don't normally see the whole aura in any one of them. Now, when we get down below that, we're talking about plain old ordinary colors. And the first one here is blue. Blue shades from the palest powder blues to the deepest, you know, vibrant electric blues. The more vibrant blues are very strong, high-energy colors, and I'm talking about the vibrant ones, high-energy and power colors, and usually associated with people who like a lot of action and do like power, okay? The less common, or maybe not less common, but less vibrant powder blues are very, very calm, serene. And these people don't want power. Isn't that interesting? But it just goes to show you, blue is blue, and that person with that calm powder blue parent could generate the same power as the electric blue person if they wanted to. They generally don't want to. They prefer the calmness, the tranquility, the kind of stepping back and sitting in the background that we associate with the powder blue as opposed to the electric blue. Green in a person's aura usually designates healing ability and also the green thumb, literally. Now you know that green rules the heart center, so green also gives an ability to love, okay, a loving nature. Now, I often see blue-green in an aura. And when you see that blue-green aura, you've got the person with the healing ability, but also the power or the calmness, depending whether it's light or dark. Okay, if you've got that person with a real deep blue-green, kind of like a, I guess it would be like an aquamarine, that could make a very dynamic healer. Probably you've got a lot of doctors that you work with who have that deep blue-green aura. When you get somebody with a very calm blue-green aura,
you know, I'm thinking like maybe a light aqua. Now you've got an individual whose healing ability is through their calmness, through their, you know, now that's the person that people like to be in their space because they feel better when they leave. So it's a different quality to the healing. But both of them, green and an aura, always denotes healing ability. Now pink, and I know that we don't normally think of pink in here, but pink rules the heart center along with green. And pink is a color of universal love. I had read in one book that the author had said that only women can have pink auras because this is a quality that women have when they're pregnant. And yes, it's true that when women are pregnant, they generally get pink auras, particularly in the area around their tummy. But I saw this one real big, strong black guy who was in one of my classes who had the most brilliant, soft, pastel pink aura you ever want to see. He definitely wasn't female. So that whoever wrote the book was not correct in that. What it takes to have a pink aura is a loving nature, okay? And people, it's not just I love you, it's loving the world. It's a loving quality. It's a quality that people who can generate goodwill towards other people have, okay? And again, most people have pink in bits and pieces in their aura, but occasionally you do see somebody whose aura is all pink, particularly in pregnant women, okay? Why? Because when you're busy loving your own baby, you're in love with the world.
Oh,
yeah. You also would see that pink aura probably in soulmates who just found each other.
It's so happy. Maybe
the lover loves the world.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Once we get below pink, now we're into yellow. And yellow is a very, very mental color. People with yellow auras are mental. They're energetic. They're very vibrant. They're usually good communicators. But their minds never stop. Very, very active minds. The orange aura is kind of a cross between yellow and red. Okay? So the orange aura gives the mental nature, the energetic nature of the yellow. It gives a vibrancy, but it also gives a tremendous creativity and intuitive ability. Now, this is different. Orange has a different intuitive quality than indigo or violet. The orange is a gut feeling intuition, but the indigo, violet, or gold almost feels like you're being led. There's that feeling of knowledge coming from a higher level. With the orange, you don't get that. There's just the gut level, strong intuition.
It's a more physical level.
It's a more physical level. Okay? But those orange aura people are always real creative, very, very creative. A lot of musicians, a lot of people who are in the arts have lots of orange in their off aura. And remember, when you're looking at an aura and you see gold, if the gold shades towards red, it probably is an orange, not a gold. Okay? So it's kind of a fine tuning there that you're going to have to work on.
What kind of instrument do you play? Because I saw the orange gold in the
all around the hands.
Yeah.
And what does it do to play an instrument? Hands. Uh-huh. And the lowest of the chakras is red. But red is not necessarily the lowest of the energies. Red is that, purely energy. When you see somebody with an all red aura, boy, have you got a person who's chock full of energy, who's very vibrant, who's got enough energy for themselves and everybody else around them to spare. When I see red in someone's hands, what I'm seeing there, as you had, Jim, are hands that you can put that hand on somebody and project an enormous amount of energy in them. A lot of psychic healers will have a green aura, but red hands, okay? Because those hands can generate the energy of healing through the red. Now, red also is the energy of sex. And if you're looking at an aura, you know, there you are going out with a guy for the first time, and you see this red aura all around his genital area, you know definitely what's on his mind, okay? So red definitely, or the other way around, yes. Okay, so look for the patches of the color. It gives you an idea of what's happening. Okay, now red also is significant of pain. If you were, for example, if we had looked lower in Karen's aura tonight, we may have seen red streaks around her knees. So, you know, red is where the energy goes, and energy goes to where the pain is because your attention's on it. And so if you see streaks of red, the streaks usually indicate something hurts.
Okay?
It's hot, you know, too.
That's
you
right.
You go near something that's in pain. Where
that's right. And red is a generator of heat, too. Now, the other thing that red can be, if you ever see somebody's aura that's got red streaked all through it, not a red, not a solid red, but streaks through it, like ragged streaks, anger. Mm-hmm. So red in that kind of a situation could be anger. Now, the only colors left, really, would be silver, which I have not seen in an aura. But I would say that if I did see silver, I would equate it to being the same connotation as gold. Brown in an aura, people automatically think brown is, oh, bad. Brown isn't bad. I've seen people with brown auras, nice, solid, brown auras. And boy, the earth is, you know, the salt of the earth, down literally. Down to earth, solid, stable, real strong individuals. On the other hand, if it's a different type of brown, if, for example, you're seeing all the colors of the aura, but there's brown streak through them, and they're muddy and running together, now you've got illness. Okay, so it could be earthy if it's a nice, solid background, or it could be illness if it's in streaks or muddied. We also, at the very bottom here, have black versus white. White, of course, is merely the presence of all colors. So when somebody has a white aura, all that really means is that either you're seeing all colors present or you're just not seeing clearly enough to see all of the colors, okay? When somebody has a black aura, though, be wary. If you see black spots around the outside of the auric shell, you may not be looking at black. You might actually be looking at holes in the aura. And holes in the aura could mean that the person has had a serious illness, depression, but it definitely means that their auric energy is leaking out. And so they're going to be very vampiric. They're going to be trying to steal your energy or anybody else's because they don't have enough. The best thing you could do for somebody who's got holes in their auras is teach them the chakra exercise that you learned, the psychic development exercise. That exercise, I call it the light exercise, that exercise will help them to repair their own aura. You can't do it for them. Only they can do it from within. If, however, what you see isn't the blackness of holes, but is rather an all-black aura, and it's literally black, that is an evil person, okay? That's a person who is really very probably depressed, low on energy, has negative thoughts, projects negative thoughts. Now, as long as it's just all black, you just want to see a clear room. They're just not your cup of tea. But if that black aura is also streaked with red, get out of there, because that would be a person capable of doing murder in a criminal rage. Okay? I've been inside the stockade in some of the prisons, and you see those auras running around all over the place. Okay? A whole different kind of person who can never come in contact with them. But that's what that means. There's one other time you might see a black aura, but it's not really an aura. And I have never seen this. But they say that the aura literally disappears, which you might see as a hole or black, before you're going to die. Edgar Case was said to have been about to get on an elevator. The doors opened and nobody in the elevator had auras, so he didn't get on. And the elevator fell and everybody in it was killed.
Oh, boy.
And I've never had that experience, so I wouldn't know.
Oh.
But I don't think I would see black there. I think I would just see nothing, okay? And me being me, if I saw nothing, I think my auric sight was just turned off at that point. Folks, I'm sorry to have kept you so long this evening. Next week, we're going to learn how to feel auras. Please, for homework, I do have homework, I want you to practice raising and programming your cone of power again on your own. Think carefully about what you want to program it for. I would like you to practice seeing auras all week. Practice expanding and contracting the aura. Record your dreams, your do-goods. But also, here's your telepathy exercise with a partner. Schedule a time, just like we've been doing. And what I would like the one who's doing the sending to do is to just send a person. Okay? Just send a person. The one who's doing the receiving will describe the person they received, male, female, age, coloring, and also describe the aura they see around the person and what you think it means. The one who is sending Do not project an aura. Just project person. Okay? Let the one who's receiving see the aura and determine what colors they see. And that's it. That's your homework. And I'll see you next week. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.